The first testimony will come from Woody Baboot. Did I pronounce that right?
Bebout.
Got it wrong. Former Skagit Harley-Davidson worker, IAM District 160.
My name is Woody Bebout. I live in Burlington, Washington. I was most recently employed as a parts clerk at Skagit Harley-Davidson in Burlington, which is a Harley-Davidson franchisee. In August of this year, a group of employees contacted the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers about unionizing our shop. In a single day, we obtained the necessary signatures to petition the NLRB for recognition of the Machinist Union as our agent for purposes of collective bargaining. From the very outset, we wanted to know that our jobs were secure and that the owners of the shop could not punish or fire us if we supported the union. Our concerns were well-founded. As soon as the NLRB notified the owners about our petition, they hired a union-busting attorney from Vermont to make sure that we would vote against the union. For almost 5 weeks, we were subjected to a daily barrage of anti-union propaganda, one-on-one meetings, group meetings, and intense pressure from every department manager to vote no. Because I had been subpoenaed by the union to testify at a hearing on the composition of the bargaining unit, management zeroed in on me as a union sympathizer. One of the department managers even told someone from outside the shop that I had a target on my butt and that my days at the shop were numbered. Nevertheless, I believed that the law protected me and that I had a right to organize my place of employment. On Tuesday, October 7th, all 21 employees in the Skagit Harley-Davidson bargaining unit voted. 11 votes were cast in favor of the union and 10 against. To look at the numbers, you would have thought that we had won. We quickly learned that our victory was a Pyrrhic victory. On Wednesday, October 8th, the day after the election, the general manager laid off one of the lot workers. The next day, October 9th, one of the female retail clerks was fired, allegedly because her hair was wet. That same day, the shipping and receiving clerk had his hours cut in half. I don't think I need to tell you that all of these people were union supporters. On Saturday, October 11th, I was notified at the end of the workday that my job had been eliminated. In the following weeks, a mechanic who was an outspoken union supporter was laid off. He received a letter a few days later telling him that he had been fired because he was not qualified. He'd been working on motorcycles for more than 6 months. Several other union supporters quit after being harassed. Of the 11 employees who voted for the union, only two or three remain at the shop, and I fear they are standing in harm's way. From where I sit, it looks as if my former employers have successfully cleansed the workplace of all union support and have done so with legal impunity. The law has done precious little to protect us. While the union has filed unfair labor practice claims on behalf of the employees who were terminated, it could take months or even years for a final resolution. The company's attorney has made it known that he will avail himself of every legal appeal. I'm told that an appeal to the NLRB in Washington, D.C. could take up to a year for decision, and then an appeal of that decision to the U.S. Court of Appeals could take another year. In the meantime, we workers have to support ourselves and our families. Justice delayed is justice denied. Surely we can do better than this. The employer has deep pockets and time on his side. The employees have a legal process that is long on process and short on justice. Recalcitrant employers have no incentive to obey the law. The law does not provide for any civil penalties or punitive damages to deter or punish employers who willfully violate their employees' rights to organize. Employees do not have any private right of action to seek redress through the courts. Injunctive relief to preserve the status quo while an employee's claim works its way through the system is also not available. Even if an employer is ultimately ordered to reinstate an employee and pay back pay, it is unlikely in many cases that the employee would want to return. In practice, employers either wait out claims in the hope that disgruntled employees will become so frustrated with the system they will abandon their claims or cash them out at the end to keep them out of the workplace. Most employees need the money, so they take the cash and run. But the result is still the same. The employer has exterminated the union threat and put the fear of God into the remaining employees. until the legal playing field is leveled and employees are given meaningful and timely protections of their right to organize, employees interested in joining a union do so at their own risk. Thank you.
I'd now like to introduce Bud Bartunek. Bartunek, organizer for the Painters District Council 5.
My name is Bud Bartunek. I've been an organizer for the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades District Council 5 for about 2.5 years now, going on 3. What I'd like to talk to you guys tonight about is a particular organizing campaign that I worked on in Vancouver, Washington with a painting contractor by the name of Painting Specialists. This particular painting contractor and I met for probably over a year in what's known as top-down organizing, where we get together and the contractor has a legitimate concern about his employees and wants to provide his employees better pay, better benefits. And after meeting for a year, talks broke down between me and the contractor, and I began what's known as bottom-up organizing, where I started meeting with the employees, trying to get them to exercise their Section 7 rights with the National Labor Relations Act. Once I started meeting with these employees and started following vehicles to job sites, which is ambulatory, it's recognized through the National Labor Relations Act as ambulatory picketing or following of vehicles to locate job sites. I had one of the supervisors with that company file stalking charges on me. What I found out was with the stalking charges being brought against me, it limited my access to the employees. Harassment charges were also brought against me, a protection order. And in the protection order that the judge tried to put together, he fashioned it so that I could work on the company Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and I had to stay 30 feet away from the supervisor that worked for this company at all times. Now, where this complicates things is we have members of other trades, glaziers, drywall finishers, and floor covers that also work in the construction trade. And I need to have access to these other members when they have questions, concerns that need to be addressed. And for me to be able to go out to these job sites and talk to these people is real difficult with a 30-foot protection order. I guess the reason I came here tonight was to try to speak to the effect that the National Labor Relations Act isn't working like it should. It makes it really difficult for me to convince employees of a company, as I'm being charged with things, that they have rights when they're seeing that I can't even protect my own rights. Not only was I dealing with stalking charges and an anti-harassment order charge, we're also pursuing unfair labor practice charges against this company. The owner has admitted to paying for the attorney fees for this supervisor that he calls an employee, which has allowed him to be able to place these charges against me in the first place. I guess the biggest thing is the money that we're having to spend to fight this stuff. We've probably spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000 with a labor attorney and a civil attorney to fight things that we shouldn't be having to fight. There's RCW laws in the state of in the state of Washington, Chapter 49. One of them in particular, RCW 49.36.030, which states that you're not to be charged criminally indicted for acts that better the pay of working class people, hours, working conditions. Those don't apply in our courts. Clark County does not recognize them. The city attorney doesn't. The National Labor Relations Act is there to protect the employees, but it doesn't protect our right to help them protect their rights, I guess is the best way to state it. I would really ask that you guys not only listen to us tonight, but go back and also respond. Thank you.
The last speaker is Victor Temblador, Eldorado Stone Worker from the ILWU, International Longshore and Warehouse.
So I'm going to be the translator. I'm going to try to do the best I can, okay?
Buenas tardes y gracias por esta oportunidad de hablar de los problemas que hemos enfrentado.
Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity to share with you the problems that we've been confronted.
Me llamo Víctor Temblador. Trabajo con el Dorado Stone en Carnation. Fabricamos moldes de goma para piedra decorativa.
My name is Victor Temblador, and I work in El Dorado Stone in Carnation. We manufacture rubber molding for decorating stone.
En marzo, los trabajadores del Dorado Stone decidimos a sindicalizarnos. En marzo, los trabajadores del Dorado Stone decidimos sindicalizarnos. El director asistente de producción se puso en contacto con la International Longshore Warehouse Union.
In March, workers of El Dorado Stone decided to organize a union. Our assistant production manager contacted the International Longshoremen Warehouse Union.
Tomó medidas para una reunión entre un organizador de la unión y nosotros.
And arranged for an organizer to meet with us.
La compañía lo despidió por eso.
He was fired for doing this.
Porque era supervisor, no hizo ninguna protección legal. La gerencia dijo que él era desleal.
Because he was a supervisor, he had no legal protection. The company said he was disloyal.
La mayoría de los trabajadores en El Dorado Stone somos inmigrantes mexicanos.
Most workers of El Dorado Stone are Mexican immigrants, about 84%.
Unos 80 de los trabajadores firmamos tarjetas sindicales.
About 80 of the 80 workers, 84% of the 80 workers sign a union card.
Pero la compañía no aceptó nuestra decisión y tuvimos que hacer una elección por la Junta Nacional de Relaciones Laborales.
The company wouldn't accept our decision, so we had to have an election through the National Labor Relations Board.
Durante abril y mayo, hasta la elección, los patrones nos decían a los trabajadores que no recibiríamos los aumentos programados a causa de la unión.
During April and May, until the union elections, the company told us that we will not get really regularly scheduled raises because of the union.
Por lo general, recibíamos aumentos a la fecha del aniversario del empleo.
We normally get raises on our anniversary date.
La compañía cambió unas reglas de trabajo como respuesta a nuestros esfuerzos.
The company changed several work rules in response to our organizing.
Los supervisores dijeron que no podíamos salir de las estaciones de trabajo sino ir solamente al baño.
We couldn't leave our workstation except to go to the bathroom.
Antes podíamos ir para beber agua fría y tomar aire libre.
Before that, we were able to get fresh air and drinking water.
Trabajamos con químicos con temperaturas en las secadoras hasta 140 grados.
We work around chemicals with temperatures about 140 degrees.
Llevamos trajes de plástico con cabezas cubiertas y máscaras Los trajes no respiran, por eso teníamos mucha calor con las nuevas reglas.
We were tie big suits with head covering on our faces mask. The suits we didn't breathe at all, so we get really hot.
Con las nuevas reglas, un trabajador se desmayó, otro trabajador sufrió un latido.
One worker passed out of work second day, those rules were affected.
El abogado y nosotros creemos que el cambio en las condiciones causó este latido. No tuvo seguro médico porque no recibimos seguro antes de un año de ser empleado.
Another worker had a stroke, which we have, his lawyer believe was caused by the stress and the change of working condition. He had no health insurance because we don't get insurance until we have 1 year in El Dorado.
La mayoría de los trabajadores tienen menos que un año.
Most workers are being there less than a year.
Más los supervisores dijeron que los leads serían responsables por algunos errores de los otros trabajadores.
But also the supervisor announced that the lead workers were responsible for errors and other workers in the areas.
Aunque los leads no pudieran dejar de las estaciones de trabajo.
Even though the leads were not allowed to leave their workstations.
Eso era en parte para molestar a Araceli Ochoa, la lead del departamento de moldes.
This was done in part to harass Araceli Ochoa, the lead of the molding department.
Con 30 trabajadores, porque ella era la líder de la campaña de organización.
With 30 workers, because she was a key leader in our organizing.
La hostigaron a ella por toda la campaña.
They harassed her through all the organizing campaign.
Le informaron a ella que los errores de los otros trabajadores del departamento eran su responsabilidad, aunque en sus días libres.
They told her she was responsible for mistakes by workers in her department, even in her day off.
Para unas semanas antes de la elección había 4 consultores en la fábrica todo el tiempo.
For several weeks before the election, there were 4 full-time anti-union consultants in the shop all day long.
Por hablar con nosotros uno por uno en contra de la unión.
They meet with us and one at a time to try to get us to vote against the union.
Unos trabajadores los presionaron y nos asustaron sobre nuestros trabajos.
They put a lot of pressure in the immigrant workers, raising fear about our jobs.
Una semana antes de la elección nos reunimos en frente de la fábrica.
A week before the election we have a rally outside the plant.
Un grupo incluyendo el exgobernador Mike Lowry hablaron con la gerencia sobre los cambios de las condiciones y el hostigamiento.
A delegation included former governor Mike Lowry meet with the management to talk about the change in working conditions and the harassment.
Por la mayoría de los trabajadores del departamento de moldes.
Most workers in the mold department were almost everyone was for the union.
Casi todos ayudantes de la unión participaron en un meeting mandatorio.
Everybody who was in for the union were kept inside.
Con la gerencia y sus asesores no se permitieron nadie a comer almuerzo y después del meeting los trabajadores regresaron al trabajo.
They couldn't have a lunch or go to the rally. They have to listen to anti-union consultants and then go back to work.
Al mismo tiempo, un grupo de trabajadores que se oponieron a la sindicalización observaron la manifestación durante su hora de lunch.
Anti-union workers got to stay outside to confront the rally and then went to get food after their lunch break was over.
Cuando llegamos a la fábrica el día de la elección, debimos entrar por una puerta pequeña.
When we arrived at work on the day of the election, we have to go through a narrow gate.
Trabajadores que oponieron a la sindicalización y supervisores con camisetas en contra de la unión marcaron en una.
Anti-union workers and supervisors, mostly wearing anti-union t-shirts check off each worker on a clipboard.
Empleador rompía la ley y violaba nuestros derechos, pero la junta laboral no hará nada.
During the election, a group of workers wearing anti-union several anti-union.
Una de las razones para una desestimación meritoria es que la violación era duración limitada.
Okay. We lost the.
La gerencia alcanzó su objetivo, ganó la elección y por eso no tuve que seguir con sus violaciones.
We lost the election by a few votes right after the election. The company changed the work rules back to the way they were being before.
Cuando regresamos al trabajo, un supervisor informó a mí y a Mónico. Otro trabajador no permitió llevar camisetas sindicales en la fábrica. Insistió que me quitara mi camisa. Después se disculpó, pero todo el mundo lo entendió.
When we went back to work, the supervisor told me and Monico and the other workers that we shouldn't have used the t-shirts from the union. He insisted that we should remove the t-shirt. And after that, he said, "Oh, well, I'm sorry, but everybody else, you know, noticed it."
El último mes, yo y Mónico fuimos suspendidos de trabajo.
The last month, me and Mónico were suspended from the work.
Fui suspendido porque bostecé en voz alta y dije, ay, 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 ay.
Okay, I got fired because I'm all like, oh, and they say, oh, ay, 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 and just because of that, they fired me.
Suspended,
I'm sorry.
Él solía decir que le gustaba oír a los mexicanos gritar.
He used to say that he liked to hear the Mexicans how we yell.
Por lo que significa trabajadores felices con nuestros trabajos.
Because that means that we are happy with our work.
Eso es lo mismo que los gerentes de las plantaciones que les gustaban las canciones de los esclavos felices.
That's the same thing that the managers of the plantations were saying that the slaves were happy about their work.
Mónico fue suspendido por 5 días por no hacer el trabajo de otro compañero que fue suspendido también.
Mónico was fired because he didn't do the job that the other worker was. Basically, they asked him for two people's work. And that's because he didn't make it, he got fired. Suspended. Well, thank you very much. I try to do my way here.
Would the panel like to ask some questions? Questions. Senator Franklin.
The working conditions of this company that you, of this business that you have worked for, where did it go? The conditions that you worked under with this company were conditions of humiliation. It's hard to conceive a company like this.
Who are the owners of El Dorado? Who can you name the owners of El Dorado Stone? Who are they?
No, no sé el nombre.
I'm sorry?
It's the second largest manufacturer of decorative stone in the country. The headquarters, they're all over the United States. It's a huge corporation. And they don't deal with the owners.
So Carnation is but a one
a subsidiary.
Molds for the decorative.
Right. So it's a corporation.
A follow-up. There is an ultimate responsibility from a corporation. So Incarnation, it's like a subdivision of this corporation somewhere else. So my question, with these conditions that has been happening, does the corporation know about it?
Yes.
We would like to have the address of the corporation, please.
I should also point out, because not all of you heard the full testimony, that they did go to the NLRB. They had a helpful person from the NLRB, but with absolutely no effect. Is that a fair summary, Paul? Is that a fair summary, Victor? So far.
Pues sí nos ayudaron, pero como la que nos está ayudando, pues no puede ponerse con su supervisor y por eso no nos ayudar.
No, no, pero la luz del gobierno, los que toman leen el problema y luego mandan y dicen, ellos deberían de haber ayudado a ustedes.
Que no había suficientes pruebas para ganar nosotros el caso.
Yeah, basically say that they say that they didn't have enough substantial evidence.
No. Can I say, what happened was they issued something which, frankly, we had never seen before, called the merit dismissal.
Right. Yeah.
The board agent was on our side, but the region said, we believe the company violated the law, we believe the company violated workers' rights, but we're not going to do anything about it at all. Because basically, it's not worth our time and effort. And there's three reasons that we might give for this. And one of those three reasons is that the violation was of limited duration. And you can imagine going to a court and saying, well, yes, I stomped this guy's face, but I stopped after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the judge says, that's okay. As long as you stopped, we don't care.
I have a question for Bud. But have you ever had any experience organizing in Canada?
In Canada?
Yeah.
No, sir.
As an international?
No.
I guess if anyone here, I'd be interested to know how the Canadians actually protect this right better than we do in this country. I think, we forget that there are other countries out there, and there are other countries who are trying to live by these charter declarations on human rights, and they do a lot better job in protecting these rights.
I don't think Canada's the best on this either.
Well, Canada's not. Let's check other states, Marilyn.
Yeah, there are other countries that do a much better job on this. I can talk about that as we discuss it later. What?
Good evening. My name is Terry Gray. I work for Rise Up Productions. I'm Bob Barnes' technical director, and I do sound for him, and that's what I'm doing here tonight. And the question was asked how the Canadian system protects workers' rights. Having gone through a couple of organizing drives in Canada in different workplaces, what I can tell you is once you have signed your cards and filed your application, your rights are protected. But until that point, the protection is no better than it is here. There's more protection once you've filed for certification. The companies are much more limited. You know, they can't do anti-union meetings. They can't bring in, do the group meetings and say, gee, the union is a bad thing. Because once you've gotten to that point, they are required to negotiate with the union or the bargaining committee, and they can't do the group meetings. But until you get to that point, you don't really have any more protection. I will, however, say that the labor laws overall are stronger and better enforced, and there are real penalties for the violations.
And it's a higher percentage if you can't organize.
Not, yeah, it's higher, but actually the most, I mean, here I'll step into my role as, this is something that I write about. The countries, unusually in terms of law in some ways, the countries that have the most protections for workers' rights are not the Anglo-Saxon countries at all. They are the Germans, the Dutch, the Scandinavians have much firmer protections of workers' rights than do any of the countries that derive their law from British law.
May I ask a very provocative question? We are here in America, and America transports to other countries that we are the greatest nation, we believe in human rights, we are in Iraq trying to tell them what to do. And but here at home, we then don't have those rights at all. So my question is a very provocative one. Don't tell somebody else what to do until you clean up in your own back door. So that's actually where we need to go. One of the things what we need to do.
I think we're now into something other than questions of the panelists. So let me now introduce some of the jobs with justice people. We have a few announcements to make, and then I'll open it up to the floor a little more.